Often on Wednesdays, we take some time to talk about wellness. It's a segment called Be Well, and we're going to do that today, but we're going to do it a little bit differently. Just last week, the U.S. Census Bureau released new data on child poverty.
The child poverty rate in the U.S. fell by nearly half last year to 5.2%. That is the lowest level on record and is based on a Census Bureau measure that takes into account cash benefits, tax credits, and other kinds of non-cash benefits, many of which increased during the pandemic.
Sound there from PBS NewsHour. So less poverty means more people are able to be well. But it's also something that impacts every single one of us in ways that might not be obvious at first. So we wanted to take some time to talk about the data, what it means, how it compares to where we are here in Massachusetts, and highlight how lowering the poverty level can help us collectively be well. Here with us in studio two, Kim Janey, former Boston mayor and now president and CEO of Empath, a Boston-based nonprofit that aims to disrupt poverty through direct services, advocacy, research, and a global learning network. Kim Janey, welcome back to Radio Boston.
It's great to be here. Thank you so much.
So do you think I framed that right? The collective impact on us of poverty when our children are poor?
Oh, absolutely. And I think framing this around wellness is also very, very important. Poverty is leading toward health disparities. People are more likely to abuse substances. So many things that are rooted in poverty. And we know that this is a policy decision, and so if we want to do something about it, we need our elected officials, we need those who are in positions to offer up new policies to do so. This news is encouraging, and what I would say about it, it affirms what we already know, which is that additional cash benefits will help children get out of poverty. And we saw with all of the resources coming from the federal government, throughout the pandemic, that it has made a difference. Now the question is, what happens now that we have stopped all of those benefits from coming? Are we going to see a sliding backwards? I worry that we will. We've got to continue to invest. We've got to make sure that we do what is working.
So a couple of things there that I want to pull apart. One is, you talked about the pandemic measures. And one of the things that happened was an expansion of the child tax credit. And there is research now to demonstrate that that expansion did lift kids who were experiencing poverty out. There has been back and forth. We've had a number of poverty advocates on the show since the beginning of that expansion arguing it works, so keep it going. Where are we in that conversation, and where is the pushback given the data?
Yeah, you know, I would say that we do need to continue to do what works. We've seen it work, so we should continue to advocate for what works. What we have seen at EMPATH, which stands for Economic Mobility Pathways, is that the cash assistance helps and that works, but we have seen a success when we couple that cash with counseling, with mobility mentoring, which is grounded in brain science, and it helps families do some long-term planning, some goal setting to help them get out of the always addressing that immediate crisis. It's crisis after crisis after crisis, and to really think long-term about where they want to go with their lives. And so through mobility mentoring, it's something we've done locally as well as with our partners across the country. We have 150 members who are also using mobility mentoring, and we have seen success. And so I would advocate strongly for continued cash assistance coupled with the counseling and the mentoring that will help families move out of poverty for good.
And do you feel like we've got the infrastructure here in the Commonwealth? We have one of the highest concentrations of nonprofit organizations in the country. So Empath does great work. You can't do all the work. Do you think we've got the infrastructure here in the Commonwealth to do that for our families that are experiencing poverty?
Well, in terms of human service organizations, yes. In terms of electeds who believe in this work and who are trying to, you know, advocate for policies that will help families. I think that's the good news in all of this. The bad news is that Massachusetts, and particularly the city of Boston, continues to be one of the most expensive places to live in the country. And so when we think about the poverty level, the federal line of poverty, we know that that is still outdated. That's outdated, and that's not capturing all of the folks who may be living above the poverty line but still can't make ends meet. So when we think about in Massachusetts, you know, the cost of living here, there have been tons of stories about the kind of income that you have to earn to be able to live in Boston or to be able to live in the Commonwealth. And we know so many families fall below that, and that there are a number of families who are above the poverty line but who still don't have the resources that they need, and are still making very difficult choices around childcare versus rent versus utility versus healthcare. Families shouldn't have to make those choices, particularly in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts or in the country that is the United States of America.
So let's bring this back to wellness. And we're speaking with former Boston Mayor Kim Janey, who is now the head of MPATH. And we're talking on our Be Well segment this week about the impact of poverty on wellness, especially for children, and what we are increasingly learning works and how that relates to all of us. I want to come back to this wellness question now. One of the things, and I'm not going to cite research here, I'm going to cite what we know from our own lives. Flexibility allows us to be well. Ability to make the decisions that we need to respond to the daily challenges of our lives allow us to be well. Having some amount of housing security, food security, transportation security are all things that allow us to be well. Child poverty undermines all of those things.
Absolutely.
Because the child is in a family that's experiencing poverty. Talk now, connect more neighbor to neighbor. How does it affect our neighborhoods when other families are not able to do what they need to do to be well?
Well, then we see a concentration of poverty and all that comes from that, whether that be, you know, higher rates of illnesses. We see higher rates of asthma. We see a life expectancy gap when there's deep, deep poverty. In the neighborhood in which I live, there's 30 years, depending on which zip code, which side of the line you live on.
Difference in life expectancy.
Yes, 30 years. Yeah. 30 years. So when you have that deep concentration of poverty, it affects so many folks because you'll see, you know, more violence. You'll see poor quality of schools. You'll see all of the things that you don't want to see when we're talking about wellness and we're talking about a healthy community. And so all of us should be concerned about this. When we think about, again, the federal poverty line for a family of four is about $28,000. When I think about the last time that I made $28,000, you know, you can't.
Yes. More than 6 years ago, it cost more than $60,000 a year for a family of three to be able to survive in Boston. You're talking $28,000, and that was before the last 6 years
right.
of increases.
And then just think of our rents.
Yeah.
So for a two-bedroom apartment, $4,000 or $5,000. Average rent for one bedroom is going to be over $2,000. If you're only making $28,000 a year, clearly there are huge gaps there. And so this impacts all of us, and we should all care about poverty in the United States, you know, one of the richest nations in the world, and yet we have these huge divides. Unfortunately, here we also see this line up with race, and so there are lots of correlations between what race you are and whether you will have the opportunities for upward mobility. Depending, again, on what race, where you were born, zip code, all of that. So we have a lot of work to do. This, the reports that have come and the census data have come, it's encouraging because it has shown when we invest, we can do something about it. So we need more investment, and we need to couple that investment with the counseling, the coaching, the mobility mentoring that works, that helps families with their long-term planning and their goal setting. We believe at MPATH that families know best, that they know how to best utilize the additional cash and with the extra support around some goal setting that they should be the drivers of their own success. But we also know that we've got to invest in the social safety net.
So I want to talk about the two levels of angst about the cash question. At one level, we have experienced, especially since welfare reform in 1996, a political divide in the country around whether or not cash transfer payments are an appropriate way to address poverty. Lots of conversation around work versus cash, and we've seen that increase in the political divide over these last, 26 years, that is, I think. We also have, in general, and I know this from having done anti-poverty work in our foundation world, a philosophy that direct money to people who are experiencing poverty is not necessarily the optimal way to go. But you're showing research now, you're talking about experience with Empath now, that says actually as a piece of the puzzle is pretty important. How do we begin to change the public conversation?
Yeah. And it's not just what we say at Empath, it's what these data say right now, right in front of us.
Yeah.
The cash makes a difference. We saw what it did for child poverty. So I don't think we should be telling ourselves that it doesn't matter. It does matter. And what I'm here saying is it matters, we need more of it, and we should couple it with other things that we know works. If we care about the poverty rates, if we care about what happens when children live in poverty. And so I believe we're a nation that cares. I still hold out hope that we do care about each other, that we can get beyond the political divisions, and that we can do what is best for our children, who are the most vulnerable in our society. There is a quote from Nelson Mandela that says, if you want to understand the soul of a society, of a nation, you just look at how they treat their children. And we've got work to do.
We're talking to former Boston elected official and now president and CEO of Empath, Kim Janey. For our last couple of minutes, I want to look at statewide policy and politics for a minute here. And I'm going to play a little sound for you here from Massachusetts Congressman Jim McGovern, who has been calling for a national conference on hunger for the first time in 5 decades. That will now be happening next week. Actually, here is Representative McGovern appearing as part of Nutrition 2022 live online back in June, talking about what he hopes to accomplish.
We need a holistic plan to finally end hunger and improve nutrition in this country once and for all. So that's why I called upon President Biden to host a White House conference on hunger, nutrition, and health. This conference will bring together agencies from across the federal government, as well as researchers, advocates, private industry, and people with lived experiences to develop a roadmap to end hunger by 2030.
He often has said on our show that hunger is a political choice. So what do you want to see? We're heading into midterm elections. We've got several new statewide offices that will be elected. We've got a Massachusetts congressional delegation. Jim McGovern is one. What do you want to see from our elected officials in the next year, given what we've talked about poverty and wellness?
Well, I believe here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, we have the resources that we need. When we think about government, whether city or state government, we think about the human service organizations and different nonprofits. We think about our EDs and our MEDs and all of the institutions, the think tanks here. We have the resources. I agree with the representative in his call to action. I think we need to do more. What I would like to see is a laser-like focus on the issues of hunger, on education, on housing, on economic mobility, issues around poverty that will get us to a place of being well. And I think we have what we need. And so I, celebrate that we've got Democrats going into the final, many of whom are women, which I'm super excited about. And I think that matters because we're talking about child poverty. We've got moms who are going to be leading for the first time in many of these positions who are going to bring a new perspective and a new lens. And so I'm excited about what this means for us here in Massachusetts in terms of the midterms across the country. I am hoping that we elect folks who are willing to tackle these longstanding problems. We've been talking about a war on poverty since I was a very little girl. here we are 50 plus years later, and many of the same issues still exist and have gotten even worse. We have seen a bigger divide when it comes to income and who earns. We've seen a bigger divide in terms of wealth, but I am hopeful that we can do something about it.
Kim Janey, President and CEO of Empath, talking with us about being well and addressing poverty. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.